tonight I want to talk to you, sort of bundle the whole thing up about these qualities, such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and so forth. I want to bundle them all up tonight, and I want you to listen to me. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. The very familiar and very famous Galatians chapter 5. We're a little bit behind tonight, but I promise you it will not be here longer than we're here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Now Galatians 5, 19 through 23, we have two teams playing each other. It's sort of like the first of a ball game. You introduce the starting lineup. Here, one team, here's the quarterback, and he comes out, then he introduces the running back, and then the flanker back, and then the fullback, and then you introduce each member of the team. Now, there's a battle going on. There are two teams fighting against each other. Let me introduce the first team to you in chapter 19, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Now this is the devil's lineup: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I've told you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you have one team. Now combating that, you'll find through the Spirit, the next few verses, you'll find each of the enemy team has someone on our team. Like you have the defensive end. It may be that the right defensive end of a football team, it's the job of the left tackle, offensive left tackle, to block him. They have an individual little battle. For example, it's very interesting to me that the first work of the flesh is adultery. Now, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. You see? Now, those are fighting each other. Sensuality versus godly, Bible, Christ-like, agape love. Now let's look at the good team. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Father, help us as we teach the Bible tonight, and may we give our attention to it and live accordingly, and may we receive something that will help us to serve you better, be more like the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Holy Father, give us willingness to listen, to understand, and obey what we hear from the book tonight. Amen. I promise you that we will not be later than usual. We'll be out of here way before 9, I assure you. Maybe as early as 15 seconds before 9, we'll be out of here. I want you to listen to me carefully as I give you a teaching, sort of bundling up all the things we've learned. Now, let's go back to my youth as a preacher and a little story that you've heard me tell again and again, and then I'll launch out into some things that you've not yet heard. I was 29 years of age. It was the summer of the spring of 1956. I received a letter from Dr. John Rice, and it said, "My dear brother, I would like for you to preach in a Sword of the Lord conference in Lake Louise, Georgia, with men such as Dr. Bill Rice, myself, Dr. John Rice, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Dr. R.G. Lee, Dr. Lee Robertson, and others, Brother Lester Olaf." Now, I could not believe that letter was from me. Could Dr. John Rice be writing a 29-year-old pastor asking him to speak at a conference on the same platform But these great men, such as Bob Jones Sr., Les Stroloff, and Bill Rice, and John Rice, and so forth. I called his office and asked for his secretary, Viola Walden, the secretary, I guess, for 40 years or so for Dr. Rice. And I said, "Miss Ola, I think I got somebody else's letter. A letter asking somebody to speak at the Sword of the Lord conference in Lakeview, Georgia. And I'd like to know where I should send it. If you'll tell me to whom this letter was addressed or meant, or who it was meant, I'll send it on and forward it to them." Miss Ola Walden said, "No, Brother Hiles, the letter's for you. Dr. Rice wants you to share the platform." Now get this, folks. The great Dr. Bob Jones Sr., one of the great evangelists of the past generation. The great Dr. John Rice, the greatest Christian I ever met. The greatest man of faith I ever met. Brother Lester Roloff. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the wisest man I ever met. And I sat there at the table for a week with these men. Every morning I'd eat breakfast, every noon, every evening I'd eat dinner, supper, whichever you eat, it's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night. And I sat at the table. And I, as a young man, 29 years of age, I listened to Bob Jones Sr. talk. Don't leave me now. I listened to Bob Jones Sr. as he talked. I never heard a wiser man. I wish everybody in this room could have known Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I never knew a wiser man, the wisest man, the best Christian philosopher I've ever met in my life. And I sat there, and Dr. John Rice, I heard him pray. Nobody can pray like John Rice. Nobody. I've heard him pray for 400 men at one time, and not look at a list, just 400 men. I heard him pray. I heard him speak on prayer. I saw Lee Robertson. I wish you could know Lee Robertson back in his heyday, when he was the leader of the Highland Park Baptist Church and the chancellor of Tennessee Temple Schools. Never met a man with as much a flair for leadership as Dr. Lee Robertson. Now there I was, a 29-year-old kid preacher, listening to the wisdom of Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and listen to the prayers and the study on prayers of Dr. John Rice and the leadership. The when Dr. Robertson, his presence on the platform was an amazing thing. And I sat there and watched him lead. I looked across the table and there was Dr. Bill Rice, the most charming individual I ever met with Dr. Bill Rice. But I met one more in humility, professor, I'm going to tell you who it is. But the most charming individual. I've never met a man with that could charm a crowd like Dr. Bill Rice. Dr. Bill was a cowboy, 6'3" tall, and he had the best platform manner. And what a spirit. What happiness. What joy. What a delightful person he was. I sat there and listened to Dr. Bob Jones Sr.'s wisdom, Dr. John Rice's prayer life, Brother Lester Roloff, the man of faith. I've never known a man of more faith than Lester Roloff, an amazing man, a man of faith. And Dr. Bill Rice's spirit, and Dr. E. Robertson's leadership. And I said, and don't miss me, I said, I wish I could be that way. I wish I could have the wisdom like Dr. Bob Jones Sr. You see, somehow I thought that God had chosen certain people to whom he gives wisdom. And so I said, I wish I could have been the one, or been one of the ones, with the wisdom of the Bob Jones Sr. I thought that God just gave some people more power in prayer than others. And I said, I wish I could have been one of those chosen to have the power in prayer of a John Rice. I got the idea that God had chosen to give some people more faith than others, and I said, boy, I wish I could have been one of those chosen to have the faith of a Lester Roloff. Oh, I wish I could have the spirit and the happiness and the humor. Dr. Bill Rice, one of the funniest men, charming, delightful man, the best storyteller I've ever heard in my life. And I said, I felt like that God gave people, some people that. And I said, why wouldn't God, I wish I could have been one of the ones that God had given the faith of a Lester Roloff and the prayer life of a of a John Rice and the wisdom of a Bob Jones Sr. and the charm and wit of a Bill Rice and so forth. I wish I could be one of those. Now look at me. Let me tell you the result. That's a fruit basket. I got a knife up here. I got a knife. Come open this one, would you please? Right there is a little. Thank you. Thank you very much. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a beautiful fruit basket. There's a banana. Pear. Plum. Grapes, apple, and beans again. We should do a job well. Just like you're preaching last Sunday morning, you blew it again. Right there. Today, please. That's good. Thank you very much. I'll call you again if I need to. Don't call me, I'll call you. Now, I hate to admit this, and you parents are not going to like me at all. I'm not a fruit eater. I'm just not. I'm not could tolerate that. But I'd rather serve a year in the state's pen than eat a pear. Or an apple. I like grapes, but the ones I get are always sour. You see, I get one of these fruit baskets everywhere I go preach. It's in the room. It's just like it was when I leave and when I came. Because you fellows don't talk about it. Tell me, the fruit basket, you always get what kind of fruit? The green, hard fruit that nobody wants to eat. And that way they can give it to the next fellow stays in that room also. Don't you see? Now, I'll say it again. I don't like fruit. Now, Paris, before you vote me out of the church, let me tell you, I do love vegetables. They don't make the vegetables that I don't like. I love any kind of vegetables. I don't care anything about fruit. And I seldom eat fruit. Scott, my son-in-law, is one. I'm sorry, likes the fruit. What is it, that California land of fruits and nuts? But anyway, I get them nearly everywhere I go. If not everywhere I go, there it sits. I walk in there, and there is the fruit basket. Now then, I seldom eat any. Now, it's there. It's been given me. But I must appropriate it. Now, that's exactly what most of the people in this room are doing tonight. God has given you a fruit basket. There are 9 different forms of that fruit. Love, joy, peace, and so forth. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, when you get saved, you got born again, Romans 8:9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, listen carefully now, when you got saved, somebody came into your body to live. And that somebody was the Holy Spirit. If you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. We're not talking that about His power or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, He came in you to live. Now, when He came, He brought a fruit basket with Him. It's in your room. It's on your table. He provided it for you, but you don't have to eat it. But hear me carefully. If tonight, Brother Hernandez, come up here, and this one is what you call a grape enchilada here on the end. Just take a grape and eat it, would you please? All right. Now, Brother Hooker, would you come up here, please? This is this girl's hair right here.
And have them all.
You have them all, that's right. All right. Brother Jeff, would you come here? This one will make you sweeter right here. And you need it. All right. And this one grows muscles, Brother. Right here on this one. And this one caused you to lose weight right here on this one. Now, the honest simple truth is, the average person has, when you get saved, everybody here tonight has in your body the Holy Spirit. When he came in, he brought a fruit basket. Now, in most of the cases in this room tonight, God's fruit basket goes exactly like mine does when I'm preaching somewhere on a Monday or Tuesday. I don't touch it. I hardly ever eat one. Now, some of you fellows here tonight, I preach in your churches, there goes my fruit basket. I don't like anything that's not chocolate covered. Now, but there, by the way, I did. On our trip, I ate some strawberries. Some chocolate-covered strawberries. No joke. They really were chocolate-covered strawberries. But, are you in the choir?
Yeah.
That's not the choir. That's a penalty box up there. That's what it is. I knew that door to God is coming from a strange location here. Now, the honest, simple truth is, when you got saved, you got the availability of every one of the ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you have it. It means it's available. Just like I sit in my room with a basket of fruit like this and never touch it. And that's what you're doing. The Holy Spirit came in your life to live. He lives in you. He lives in you as much as he lives in Lee Robertson. He lives in you as much as he lives in Jack Hiles or Tom Malone. Or the men on this platform. The Holy Spirit of God, who indwelt Dwight Moody, he had no better Holy Spirit than you have. Billy Sunday had no better Holy Spirit than you have. Charles Spurgeon had no better Holy Spirit than you have. David Livingston had no better Holy Spirit than you have. He lives in you. And when he came in, he sat on the table, if you please, a basket of fruit and says, it's yours. Love is yours. You may use it or not use it. Joy is yours. You may have it or not have it. It's strictly up to you. Peace is yours. You may have it or not have it. It's strictly up to you. Joy, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of these. Now listen carefully to me. God didn't come along and make somebody more loving than somebody else. For the same love that's on in your room on your table is the same love that was on the table for Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Dwight Moody, and Billy Sunday. That means if you don't love, it's because you have not appropriated. You're doing exactly what I do in the motel room. There sits the fruit. There's a nice plum. It goes uneaten. It's mine, but I must eat it. There's a bunch of grapes. They're mine, but I must eat them. There's a pear. There's an apple. And you've got an orange or a grapefruit and so forth. But I don't touch them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to come tonight to you and let you know that there's not been one single great child of God who's ever lived that had any more availability of these nine ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit than you do. So, when you get saved, you've got the availability of love. Now, you must eat it. You must appropriate it. When you got saved, you got the availability of joy. You don't have to be crabby. You don't have to be unhappy. Ms. Hiles will tell you, everywhere I go, I'm happy. We're on a cruise for 12 days. We got on the elevator. And by the way, you eat. Brother Scott was on a cruise. He gained 10 pounds in 7 days. Went over 100. He now weighs 105, first time in years. But now, wait a minute. The honest, simple truth is, we were on a cruise for 12 days. That's about 10 days. We were on an elevator. Didn't know anybody. There were about 10 people on the elevator. My wife would say, I always talk to her, but I know better. And I bring up the conversation. And I said, well, say a word to you folks. Y'all look a little heavier than you did about 10 days ago. They didn't know me. And looked around, and I thought it was funny. But if I'm on an elevator, I want to spread some joy, like you're fat. You're a slob. You know what I'm talking about. Now, wait a minute. Look, you can be as happy as I am. For he who brings joy lives inside of you and brought you a fruit basket, and one of the ingredients of that basket is joy. So, you got love when you got saved. You can love as much as anybody loves because the same spirit that came into them came into you. You got peace when you got saved. You got gentleness when you got saved. You got long-suffering when you got saved. You got goodness when you got saved. You got faith when you got saved. You got meekness when you got saved. You got temperance when you got saved. Just as much as the greatest lover who ever lived, the happiest person who ever lived, the greatest person of faith who ever lived. I mean, the faith that Lester Olof had is available for you. God is no respecter of persons. He makes available to every single child of God the same faith that Lester Olof had, and the same wisdom that Bob Jones had, and the same power and prayer that John Rice had, and the same charm that Bill Rice had. All of these things are as available to you as anybody, but there you sit. The difference in you and these men, they ate the fruit and you're not. They appropriated these ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit, and there you sit, just like I said. For example, a while ago, these fellows over here didn't need a thing. Here's the basket. These fellows over here all came at a grave. But the basket's here. Now, God has made available to every single believer His Spirit. His Spirit comes in to live at salvation. And God has made available to, okay, you got the same Spirit. And the same basket of fruit the Apostle Paul got. We have the idea that God singled Paul out to have a certain burden, but the same burden Paul had, you can have if you eat it. We have the idea that John the Beloved was given a special kind of a love from God, but John the Beloved had no more access to real love than you have if you're a child of God. We all got the same Spirit that Peter got. Dwight Moody God, John Rice God, Billy Sunday God, John Colson. Somebody said the other day, I wish I could be as sweet as Beverly Hiles. Now, let me say, I don't know a more even spirit disposition woman than Beverly Joyce Hiles. I don't know her. I mean, what you see here at church with that smile is what you would get if you lived in the same house with her. But somebody said, I wish I could be as sweet as Miss Hiles. Well, you can. God didn't look down one day and say, I'm going to make her sweet. God didn't look down one day and say, I need somebody that's steady and predictable and compassionate that can send aside the deathbed and the sickbed of people of God and give them faith and hope and love. And I'm going to give Johnny Colson. Johnny Colson didn't get one single thing. You can't get it. It's right there in the basket, but you sit there and don't eat it. So there you sit, in the cafe now, there you sit in your unhappy marriage with the happy marriage on the table. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. You can have as happy a marriage as anybody in this room has. It's on the table. Peace is on the table. Love is on the table. Joy is on the table. Long suffering is on the table. Long-suffering and patience being different. Patience is holding up under bad circumstances. Long-suffering is holding up under bad people. Or a wife. Is anybody out there? Now listen carefully to me. You listen carefully. This fruit basket sits in my room all across America. I promise you, not long ago in a place. I walked in, there's no fruit basket. But guess what there was? There was a microwave. And guess what there was? to put nutmeg away. A big bowl of collard greens with bacon, greasy bacon in it. The kind that gives you cholesterol, high cholesterol, and you don't give a flip whether you have it or not. And this bowl over here was fried okra. Over here was freshly cooked southern style squash. You dumb Yankees don't know a thing about food. You and your pizza. Squash, green beans, as greasy as the collard greens. And there was the microwave. I promise you there wasn't a bean left. I promise you what okra was left, I stopped it up with a piece of bread. I promise you every one of those turnip greens went into the ministry. I promise you that. Or collard greens. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. I chose to eat those. I did not choose to eat the fruit. And there you sit tonight. You listen to me. There you sit tonight in your unhappy marriage with a happy marriage sitting on a table in a bowl of fruit. There you sit tonight in your depression. There you sit in your depression with joy on the table. Eat it! You have it! Appropriate it. There it is. There you sit tonight in your doubt with faith on the table. There you sit tonight in your unrest with peace on the table. And there you sit tonight with wars between you and some other person with whom you don't get along, strife, bitterness, malice, and you say, oh, we're like, you don't have to be like that. Because peace is in the basket on the table. There you sit tonight with your temper when temperance is on the table. There you sit tonight in your misery when gentleness is on the table. And there you sit tonight in your pride when meekness is on the table. It's up to you. Say what you have. You have spiritual anorexia. That's what I want. Spiritual anorexia. Brother Bill Burr made an announcement the night that he overcome his anorexia. But here's where it is. You're just like one of these gals that weighs 74 pounds is trying to lose weight. You've seen them. They won't eat. Now you listen to me carefully. One day it dawned on me. Now, hey, I'm not saying I have the wisdom of Bob Jones Sr. Listen to me, young folks. Listen to me. I'm not saying I have the wisdom of Bob Jones Sr., but I am saying I could have. And I'm working on it. I'm not saying I have the prayer power of a John R. Rice, but I am saying I could have, and so could you. And there you sit in your poverty with riches on the table. And there you sit in your unhappy marriage with a happy marriage on the table. And there you sit in your melancholy disposition with your depression, with joy and happiness on the table. Starving to death at the table. We beggarly Christians, we make ourselves believe, you get this now, we make ourselves believe that some are more privileged than we are. And excuse our temper because God has given some an even disposition. And excuse our bitterness and malice and strife because God has given some love. And excuse our depression because we say God has given some the joy. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, my Bible said that everybody who's saved has the Holy Spirit living in him. And when that Holy Spirit comes inside of him, he brings a fruit basket. one of the great days of my life was when I found 1 Kings 22:3. Then Jehoshaphat was told by Ahab the king, "What? Know ye not that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not?" Listen to me. These grapes represent love tonight. The same love offered to John the Beloved, offered to you. Quit hiding behind your excuse that God didn't make you that way. The honest, simple truth is, every single one of us is born depraved people, bent towards sin. But when God saved us, the Holy Spirit came in our bodies to live, and God gave us love. There it is! Eat it! There you sit with joy available. And just like I do in motel rooms across America, you sit there with joy available. Eat it. So, one day it dawned on me, I have available to me the same wisdom that Bob Jones Sr. had. And so do you. I have available to me the same prayer life that John Rice had. And so do you. I have available to me the same faith that Lester Olof had. And so do you. I have available to me the same joy that Charles Weigel had. And so do you. Well, he was a... She's such a happy person. No happier than you could be. What a wise man he is. No wiser than you could be. What a great prayer man, prayer warrior he is. No greater than you could be. What an even disposition person he is. No more even than you can be. Listen carefully. We're starting a new school year. Some of you folks need to start eating this fruit. In the classroom, the teacher, the pupil, the principals, the teachers, the students, in the dormitories, this same basket of Galatians chapter 5 is available to you. Let each of us, as we start a new school year, let each of us appropriate the basket of fruit that God made available to us the moment we receive Christ as our Savior. So, the day dawned on me, one day, I can have the same wisdom Bob Jones Sr. had. I may not, but I can. I can have the same prayer life that John Rice had. I may not, but I can. I can't have the same faith that Lester Olof had. I may not, but I could. I can have the same joy that Charles Weigel had. I may not, but I could. I can have the same soul winning that Joe Boyd has. I may not, but I could. I can have the same leadership ability that Lee Robertson has. I may not, but I could. I can have the same happy, joyous spirit of a Bill Rice. I may not, but I could. And God did not choose them for these qualities. He gave to every single one of us the same fruit basket. And that basket is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Yours. Eat it. Eat it. I sit in my motel room. Boy. Anybody got any chocolate I can pour on this? There I sit in my motel room with a fruit basket. Uneaten. And there you sit tonight with a basket of God's fruit. Unappropriated. It's yours. As much as it was theirs. Shall we stand, please?
your Bible to first.